Novelist and poet Sandra Cisneros is more self-conscious about language than most writers. Her stories bridge different cultures, ages, and genders. Her first novel, The House on Mango Street, has sold over 3 million copies since it was published in 1985.
Cisneros is this week's subject on Intersections, our series exploring artists and their inspirations. She invited NPR's Felix Contreras to the Liberty Bar, a San Antonio restaurant popular with the city's artists and writers. She explains how her love of language helped her succeed.
Sandra Cisneros was raised in Chicago in the 1960s on what she calls the poor part of town. She was the only daughter in a family of six brothers, and her family regularly made the long trek between Chicago and Mexico City to visit her dad's family. But Cisneros says she was not comfortable with her surroundings as a child. Her brothers didn't seem to notice that the lack of nature or things of beauty in her Chicago neighborhood bothered her, and her parents were too busy providing a stable home to notice little Sandra's budding preference for words to people.
You know, as a child, you don't have a way to get out of town. You can't buy a ticket or you can't move away, but books did that for me.
And not just any books. Fairy tales made up her early reading list. It was the language that hooked her.
At that time, if you had come up to me, Felix, and asked me as an 11-year-old child, and you'd asked me, what kind of books do you like, little girl? I would have said, I like books from the olden times. I like that the books that I read would say things like, I shan't. And I would try to find a way in my life in which I could reply, I shan't do that, mother. And, you know, that was like so far away from my barrio world, but in my head, when my mother would say, come over here and help me wash these dishes, in my head I'd say, no, mother, I shan't.
The first book she owned was Alice in Wonderland, with its highly stylized storytelling. The Brothers Grimm and Hans Christian Andersen also made lasting impressions.
I thought that strange syntax was the language of storybooks. I didn't realize those were poor translations or that was English from the Edwardian times. I didn't know that as a child. I just knew that they were different than the English I heard every day.
She began to create her own worlds. She secretly wrote poems, short stories, and even children's books with illustrations. It all came tumbling out, triggered by the language of fantasy. Then, during a routine trip to the library, the inevitable happened.
I remember very distinctly being in the Chicago Public Library, the Humble Park branch, and I remember looking at the card catalog and looking up an author and realizing that some of the cards were dirtier than others and more dog-eared, and it was those dirty dog-eared cards that were the good books in my estimation, because that meant a lot of people were looking for that book. And I visualized at that moment my name on a dirty, dog-eared, Dewey Decimal card in those drawers. That was the first time. And then, of course, immediately after I visualized that, in my mind, I saw a book spine with my name on it. And that was thrilling.
But she kept that image to herself. She says wanting to be a writer in her neighborhood was as absurd as wanting to be a witch. So she conjured something more realistic, becoming an English teacher who wrote fiction on the side. It wasn't until graduate school that the fairy tales, popular culture from both sides of the border, and her life experiences combined to create a distinct literary voice. It was as if Alice, while in Wonderland, became a cast member of a Mexican telenovela. Her stories about ethnic identity, poverty, and other aspects of her bicultural world are told by characters with a distinct language of their own.
I wasn't even aware that my first book, House on Mango Street, was so influenced by Spanish until after I finished the book. Somebody will exclaim, what a barbarity, I can't believe she said that to me. And we know she's saying, que barbaridad. And I had to do that, and I created some of the structures of the speakers who were speaking Spanish. I chose word choice and syntax to communicate to the reader that we were listening to a dialogue in Spanish. I wanted the readers to know, even though I'd written it in English, the characters were speaking Spanish.
Sandra Cisneros' latest novel, Caramelo, was born of the same inspirations as her other writings, a deep desire to explore language. Caramelo follows a family not unlike her own, with feet firmly planted on both sides of the border. She says the book's vast sweep of U.S. and Mexican history was also aided by extended periods of listening to music. She used music to evoke certain periods of history. For example, she relied on music from Mexico's post-war Época de Oro, or Golden Age, to help her write about the father of the story. Here, he has his own thoughts about language.
Guess strange was English, rude and to the point. No one preceded a request with a, "Will you not be so kind as to do me the favor of," as one ought. They just asked. Nor did they add, "if God wills it," to their plans, as if they were in audacious control of their own destiny. It was a barbarous language, curt as the commands of a dog trainer. "Sit! Speak up!" And why did no one say, "You are welcome"? Instead, they grunted, "Uh-huh," without looking him in the eye, and without so much as a, "You are very kind, mister, and may things go well for you."
In the rhythms and cadences of immigrant voices, Sandra Cisneros uses language to open windows into other worlds, not for escape, but to invite readers in. She says it's about being able to see something of ourselves and people most unlike us. Her secret ingredients are the precise combination of words and ideas that make up a good story.
The magic and power of a story is, will it allow you to be transported from this environment and take you to another? It's speaking to some great emotional need we have. And those are the stories that speak to us and that we listen to. They touch our hearts.
Felix Contreras, NPR News.
Sandra Cisneros reads her poem, "You Bring Out the Mexican in Me," at NPR.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne in Los Angeles.
And I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington.